This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Alex Cora clearly hoping there is a Devers in team and that he will, I guess, relax a little bit and accept whatever the role is that the team would like him to undertake this season.
Which it seems like he would, because he seems like that type of player. It doesn't seem like he ever is really big into the being a leader type thing. And I don't know if maybe that's just the language barrier. He always seems like he's always got a smile on his face. Anytime he's getting interviewed, he's kind of like, he reminds me a lot of like Manny Ramirez in the sense where, you know, it doesn't really, nothing kind of like bothers him.
Like it doesn't faze him, or he's happy-go-lucky. But, I mean, is this in some way, shape, or form about the leadership role? Like, does he object to Alex Bregman coming in and being the veteran leader?
Who's
did he, in the absence of Bogarts, did he believe that he was going to be the guy who was the leader of the baseball? I don't think
he cares about that. Like, his personality doesn't care.
Well, he cares about playing third base, clearly.
That, for whatever reason, I don't think, if you were to say to, hey, Ralphie, you know, whether it was Bregman or
I think he'd probably say it's Ralphie.
Whether it's Bregman or whether it was Turner from a couple years ago, they're the leaders in the clubhouse. Does that bother you? Like, I don't think he cares.
He clearly yesterday decided that he was going to make it a thing, right? Because the answer could have been when he was asked, I'm going to do what's best for the baseball team.
Right.
That was not the answer that he chose to go with. So he clearly is trying to make some sort of a statement.
It has to be about power or being replaceable in some sense, because you're right, Wiggy. Like, after Xander left, they really talked about him stepping into the spotlight in that leadership role, and he never grew into it.
Yeah.
He just never embraced that, whether you think it's related to talking to the media through an interpreter, whether you just think that that's not his personality, that's he's more of an easygoing guy who just wants to go out there and play ball, and he's not somebody who lives and dies by every win and loss and gets really heated over that. But now it's almost, that makes it all the more surprising that he wouldn't just say, we don't know where anyone's lining, like where anybody's playing yet in the field, so we'll see how that works out during camp. Instead, it's an absolute no.
Right.
No, I am not going to DH. I'm just surprised to get that from him. And I think it has to be because of this big contract coming in, even if it's short term, and him being like, I'm the one who signed the long term contract back with Chaim Bloom.
No.
But what I get, I'm sorry, I get what you're saying, Mego, but what, so then what is he concerned about? Like, if he's not really want to take the leadership thing, if that doesn't bother him, so what's bothering him then? He feels like he no longer is the face of the franchise?
Yeah, I think he wants to be the most important part of the franchise. And I don't understand it because there's a legacy of DH heroes with the Boston Red Sox, most recently David Ortiz, who was the most important member of the Red Sox for years and years and years and beloved. And I don't know why you wouldn't look at that and say, well, there's very recent history of this.
I would ask you this, Greg. I would just ask it this way. Do you think, just to play devil's advocate for Ralphie's benefit here, I would say, what if he felt that there would at least be an opportunity to compete and start with the position prior to the assumption that he was already going to be moved out of third base? What if he, this offseason, rededicated himself defensively? He improved from 23 to 24, cutting his errors almost in half, and he's viewing this as his locker room. He's the guy that stayed here when nobody else wanted to come, and now the new shiny object arrives, and he's already being kicked off third base.
Well, I think you're naive if you believe that they're going to bring a guy in who has won a Golden Glove twice at your position, and he's not going to be the guy that they lean toward. But you're right. I guess Chaim Bloom promised it to him, and maybe that was a part of the reason why he was willing to stay. I mean, I would imagine that the $300 million that he got was the main reason that he was willing to stay. So do you think that they at any point over the last 2 months talked to him and said, hey, we're thinking about Alex Bregman, seems to be who's available. We need the bat. Would you be willing to suck it up, Buttercup, and maybe move to the, like, do you think they had that discussion?
Well, I would ask this simple question to the baseball heads who know more about baseball than me. Who's Devers' agent?
I don't know if it's Boris or not. I don't think it is.
Well, because I would say, well, if it is Boris, then maybe, you know, there's a chance that he know Bregman's coming here. But I would feel like his agent would have known, like, all right, they're interested in bringing in Bregman. The agent picks up the phone and goes, hey, if you guys bring in Bregman, what's going on with my client when it comes to third base?
Clutch Sports Group is the agent.
Right.
Wow, that's LeBron.
Isn't that LeBron in them?
Yeah.
So, right, I would think there would be some communication from the agent to pick up the phone with the Red Sox and say, hey, we're seeing all these reports out there that you want Bregman. If he comes, what's the deal with my client, Ralphie?
Good job.
Devers at third base. Mm-hmm. What's your thought process? Oh, hey, Ralphie, is he going to have a legitimate chance to compete?
You have to say that.
Oh, hey, Ralphie. That's what I know him as, Ralphie. I like Ralphie better, though.
You like Ralphie?
Ralphie sounds cooler.
Carefully, you shoot your eye out.
So, I feel like that car.
First, he changes his position, and now he changed his name.
Chime, were you ever into Raffy, children's television program?
I was not. Can't say I ever was.
I will say.
I was more of a Raphael from the Ninja Turtles guy.
Just because I was looking up his agent, and so this popped up. It's a story from Alex Speer from The Globe from last November where he's talking to Raffy's agent. And he said he has these quotes about playing third base. He says he understands he's the face of the franchise, and he takes pride in that. He takes pride in the team winning when it's not doing well. He puts pressure on himself. But he says that, like, he's very committed. He is a third baseman. He will continue to play. This is last November. Third base and work hard to get better at it. That's his position. That's where he likes to play, and that's where he will be playing.
Right, but don't you think that...
So he's probably pissed off. He feels like he improved at the position, and he did, I guess, right? Went from 19 to 12 errors, and so he's put the effort in, and they're not giving him a chance to be the guy.
But I think they are giving him a chance. Don't you think the conversation, that's why I said the conversation would be had where an agent, where the organization would go to Clutch Sports and his agent, hey, listen, Raffy's going to have every chance to be our everyday third baseman. But we do have a guy in Alex Bregman who has proven he can play that position. They're going to compete for it. So why wouldn't Devers just go, you know what? I know Bregman's good, but we're going to compete. And the best guy that comes out is going to be the guy who deserves the job. Ralphie.
No.
So that's what I would think.
I don't understand why it seems like he's blindsided by this. Either because he had to know that this was going to be a conversation about whether Bregman is going to be forced to move to second base and then you have a logjam with Christian Campbell, who you're trying to bring up, or whether he even just has the self-awareness to look at himself and say, the guy I signed that contract with is in St. Louis now. And by the way, I have been on the DH track just organically for years at this point. Like,
I don't think he's blindsided, Meggo. I just think he's saying, when asked about
it, he's acting like he's blindsided. He said they had their word and they're not keeping it, to paraphrase.
Right, that was last year. But I think he's just looking at it like, well, they brought this guy in. Figure out where you're going to put him. I'm not moving from third base. I don't think he's blindsided. He's like, all right, Bregman plays third. He comes in, figure out whether he's going to go play second, shortstop, wherever you want to send him, but I'm not moving. I don't think it's a blindside. I think it's Devers just saying, like Greg said, I'm dying on this hill. I'm not moving from third base. The only one who's going to move me from third base is going to be Alex Cora if he makes the decision when the lineup card comes out every day. Is not put me in.
So that's interesting. Do you think that, like, behind the scenes, he's been this stubborn about it as they've been talking about bringing Bregman in?
Yep.
If anybody's trying to clue him in, he's saying, that's for you guys to figure out. I play third base. Because that's not great.
If he's been like that, I would have said you can skip the media portion the first week while we're here and not go out and tell everybody that you think we're liars.
Well, that's why I wonder if that was his doing. Like, that this was, Devers showed up, the media was there, and the organization didn't think he was going to do this. I can't envision a scenario by which Sam Kennedy, Alex Cora, Craig Breslow et al. Think that there's a chance that Devers is going to say what he said yesterday and open him up to the media. I just can't envision that would be,
no,
who would agree with that?
I don't think they even thought, because I think he kind of, you know, in the beginning part of answering his question, he was kind of trying to be diplomatic. But then when the reporter asked him the second question, that's when he drops the no. I'm not going anywhere. Nope. And that's when they're like, oh, wait a second.
This is Steve from Maine. What's up, Steve?
Listen, just get you off speak. Hey, good morning. I'm just wondering if Rafael Devers has any relationship at all with David Ortiz. Because it just doesn't sound like to me there's any mentoring going on there. Maybe it's because Rafael doesn't want it. But, I mean, is there any chance that he hasn't heard that David Ortiz was the face of this franchise for a long time at DH?
Yep.
And I just want to know what information you guys have. Meggo, it's great to hear you this morning. And, everybody, I love this show.
Oh,
thanks, Steve.
Very nice.
That's not possible.
I don't think David Ortiz is, like, going to hang out, and I think the mentorship is a little overrated. I mean, Rafael Devers has been in the league for 7 years now. I mean, I don't think he needs mentoring. He's expected to be a mentor.
I just don't think
Ortiz could give him a call and just say, hey, you know, he called Soto. I mean, give him a jingle and
right.
Say, hey, hey,
just,
Ralphie.
Hey, Ralphie, what's going on here, Brett? Oh, Ralphie, go to DH, man. You play a lot longer. Oh, hey, Ralphie, go play a lot longer. I always jack up his name, Ralphie. I don't know why. But Ralphie.
No.
I don't understand.
Names are not your thing.
No, no,
but
no.
We've come to know that.
But Ralphie. That's, but that's no. Everybody, though.
Right. It
that's
is.
Everybody. My name is Jermaine. How many times I've been called Jerome?
Right. I remember a caller one time. Like, kept saying Jerome
over and
over. They'll
still be like,
oh,
Jerome, Jerome, Jerome. So, like, yeah.
Right.
And I feel like I got the easiest name in the world.
Right. Yeah. Jermaine.
There's no O in it.
No. And there was one of the Jacksons. Like,
right.
You share a name with one of the Jackson
I would
five.
Say the I mean, second right. Biggest Jackson.
Yes.
Well, right. Maybe not the second. The third.
Does that Jackson have the bubble guts too, or are they okay?
Who did you say was second? Tito?
No, probably Janet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she's adjacent, though. She wasn't a part of the Jackson
that's
Five.
That's true, but she's still a Jackson, so.
Yeah, she. Okay, so it goes Michael.
Janet.
Jermaine. Jermaine in front of Tito?
Yeah. Jermaine in front of
wow.
Tito.
Wow.
Because remember, a lot of people.
What about Joe, the old man?
complicated.
Yeah, that's a complicated.
Let's not go there.
It's complicated. No, he would be third. Remember, he had like one song, and everybody used to think he was fine back. Well, at least my mother thought he was fine back in the day. Right. But I just don't get the
pause.
I don't get why he's willing to. And you asked him, Greg, why is he willing to die on this hill? Like,
it's weird. But I guess he's prideful. I mean, some are texting in saying they really like this. Like, you've got a guy who wants to play both sides of the ball and he's fired up about it. So maybe we're looking at it the wrong way.
Right. I get that point. But if he's willing to compete and loses out, then does he just say, hey, I lost to the better player and I'm happy with that?
Maybe he doesn't want that look. He doesn't want to look like he lost out to the new guy that they're bringing in when he's prideful about being the face of the franchise.
And AAV-wise, Bregman's making more this year, something you also have to take into account. That, Wiggy, you're an athlete. You've been in that world. I haven't. But salary, they don't really look at the total contract. Isn't this year, I mean, Bregman's making $40
million. I mean, if Bregman's getting $120 and I'm still sitting there looking at $315 million, I'll take that.
Rafi, did you know Bregman was making more this season?
No.
Oh, okay.
I bet he probably didn't. No. Doesn't he seem like that, though? He reminds me a lot of Manny, where he's just like, doesn't know what people are making, you know, and just is like, he's a happy-go-lucky guy, and that's why I'm just so confused that he's willing to.
That's why I'm wondering,
also, hold on. Does it piss you off when people think your name is Ralphie?
No.
Oh, that's good.
That's good to know.
That's good for you, Wiggy.
Yeah, that's good.
When
really
you see
good
him next week.
He'll be like, oh, hey, Ralphie. He'll be like, I get it.
No.
I would just say, as long as it doesn't bother you, Ralphie.
Hey, Ralphie, do you think Ken should come back from Puerto Rico?
No.
Okay, good. I agree.
That is a classic drop right there. That is a classic.
Which one?
The no.
Oh, okay.
That is so good.
But I don't know. I just think that it's so surprising. It's like so out of character, as you're saying. And that tells me that it seems like a surprise to him. Like, if he had come to terms with this being the situation weeks and weeks and weeks ago, he probably just thought that when they were going to bring Bregman in, he was immediately going to second base.
So you're saying that the
front office
and they told him, don't worry about it, Bregman's going to second.
Hold on. Sam Kennedy's here. Sam, can you see him coming to terms with this during the season?
No, I can't.
Okay. All right.
It's going to be interesting.
It's going to be interesting.
No.
All right.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
That was Red Sox manager AC Alex Cora. I'm going to disagree with him. It is about Rafi. It's about Rafi not handling it well. And then Tristan Casas today doubling down and not handling it well. And it's why we have loaded phone lines here on WEEI Afternoons on a Tuesday afternoon, Ted, where people are fired up.
I'm not going to lie. I love this. So, I absolutely love this. The Bregman news was huge. And now Rafi just what he said is everybody's talking to Red Sox right now, which is kind of awesome.
It is awesome. And Fitzy, are we reacting, overreacting, or underreacting to this right now, in the immediacy of today?
Appropriately reacting.
Okay, I agree. Yeah. I agree, because I think there's going to be some people, and we've already seen it, you know, on Twitter and on Twitter.
You guys are trying to do sports radio. Why don't you leave them alone? They'll figure it out. Like,
someone said, a question was asked, someone replied to it, and the majority of us didn't like what we've heard. And we're not necessarily prone to hot take Jake responses or knee-jerk nonsense.
No, it's simple reactions. And I would also say this passion is why Rafi Devers has a $300 million contract. Mm-hmm. If no one cared that on February the 17th he said, no, I don't want to do my job that my boss wants me to do. If no one cared, that'd be fine. And he'd make a lot less money. The fact that people care is part of the investment of time, money, and energy into the sport.
And part of it, too, is that he just was so defiant in his answer.
Which I kind of
like. It wasn't like any gray area. It wasn't like, you know, maybe he's kind of still deciding on whether he's okay with it or not. No.
Yeah.
No. He's very, very much knows exactly how he feels on the matter, and he said as much.
That was the one part of it I actually liked. We didn't have to read between any lines or re-listen or read a transcript and be like, oh, he said something there. No. He said it for all the world to see. No word salads or anything. There was no confusion as to how he feels. He feels he's a third baseman and he's not going to DH. Okay. That was easy. I would have been, sometimes I get caught off guard in my days as a reporter. When you ask a question and a player answers it so definitively and directly, sometimes it stuns you because you're so used to
words.
Oh, right. Throw in a cliche.
Well, you never know. I mean, you know, we're going to take it one day at a time. It is what it is, blah, blah, blah. And then we're all like, when he goes, no, we're all waiting for him to like laugh and just be like, JK, of course, I'll do what's in the best. Right. Like he just sat there stone faced, like, no.
No, that was a legit no. That was a no means no kind of no.
And after these, get to all these calls. I'm going to answer the question is why you asked me, why do I think this will get resolved? Why am I optimistic? And I'll have the answer for you later on.
Big market tease from a big co-host on WEEI Afternoons. But back to the phone lines, as Ted said, let's go to Tim in Hanover. What are your thoughts on this situation with Rafi Devers?
Gentlemen, I'm calling in for Devers, but I just wanted to say one thing about Ted. Ted, I think you're a great addition to these two chaps that you're dealing with. And I love the take that you had for Philadelphia Eagles on the Seabiscuit or whatever it was.
Yeah.
There's a great movie called Farlap, if you haven't seen it. It's unbelievable. Take a look at that movie when you get a chance.
I'll do it. Thank you.
But on Devers. All right. On Devers, man.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, Devers, Cora's got to tell him. Because Cora's a great coach, man. And he's just got to do what he's got to do. Tell him Bregman's the guy. Put him there. They want to see this team go forward. And Devers not knocking down. He's not putting holes in that green monster. So let's see what he does for the money he's getting. If not, find another home and you'll save money.
All right. Thanks for the call, Tim. So that's somebody putting it on your list. Number one man, Alex Cora. Hmm. And that is
his job. Does that seem like the obvious guy to do this?
Yeah. But we do always get into trouble, and sometimes in all sports, I mean, you lived this world. Pete Carroll had a back door to Bobby Greer and all these different things.
Yeah.
Is Cora properly empowered to do this?
Yes.
Or is there a ownership level interjection? Or is there a Breslow? Or is there a Theo? Or is there a Sam Kennedy? Can he stand on his own two feet and handle this?
Yes, I believe he can. However, there was that little nugget the other day on people sort of underestimating or at least forgetting about the fact that Theo gets involved now on a grander organizational level. And he was helpful, instrumental, just like Pedroia was, just like a lot of other people, just like Jared Carabas and many others, in bringing Alex Bregman to town. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think anyone has gone undercut or usurp power from Alex Cora in this situation, but Theo may be getting involved. Like, I could see a Theo's being like, guy, listen, you want to be a legend? Look what happened to everyone that used to win around here. Don't, this is your chance. You want to blow it up? Fine. But Alex is going to make the decision that Alex is going to make, and the organization gives him the power. You get the paycheck, he gets the power in the final set.
I'm missing something. Why would Rafi listen to Theo, though? Like, what's the...
He doesn't have to, but I wouldn't be surprised if he says something.
But is the power structure, is it clearly defined that Theo's got more power than Alex?
No, but he just might show his Red Sox World Series ring and his Cubs World Series ring and say...
I didn't know if I was missing something.
I did the impossible twice.
Yeah, I got you.
I know a little something.
No. I hear you. I wasn't sure because I haven't heard. Is he around? Is Theo around? I mean, I know he's.
Yeah, he's part of the ownership group, Fenway Sports Group.
He does
non-baseball, but reportedly he was sort of involved in the Bregman signing, and there were some layers to that.
Gotcha. So, okay. Interesting. That's interesting. Okay.
Okay, so I am now interested in a couple of subject lines on our call screener here because we've taken mostly similar calls. We have similar opinions. Devers kind of did something dumb. Devers shouldn't get to say whatever he wants, blah, 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 blah. But we have a couple others here, and we go to Mike in the car. According to the subject line that
Hey, I love the show, man.
I'm going to talk quick.
Thank you.
Sorry. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Super.
Good. Hey, Mike,
what do you think?
I love the show. I just want to say that Devers came out happy-go-lucky. He gets hammered with the same question 10 times over and over again, and then they call him fat. And so he came up all cool and aloof and like that he was being selfish. But the questions asked to him by the interpreter were, what position do you want to play? He said, third base. He goes, do you want a DH right now? He said, oh, no, not right now. And then he said, no, 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 after the 10th time. Also, if I'm Alex Cora, I say, listen, Rappy, your numbers last year, you had 160 OPS or runs created plus before you hurt your shoulder in Chicago or in Colorado. And we could keep you healthy by making you a DH all the time. Your numbers, imagine what they're going to be when you don't have to hurt your shoulder on the infield. So that's how you go after them. Another hot take is Vaughn Grissom is going to start at second base, not Gamble.
Oh, I like it, Mike. I don't rule that out.
Thank you.
Because Alex Cora was very high on Vaughn Grissom when he arrived. He was saying, like, we made that trade for a reason, and it wasn't just to get rid of Chris Sale. We wanted Vaughn Grissom to be our second baseman. We think he can do things.
Are you buying the language barrier being a problem here?
No.
And I'm not buying that they berated him with unfair questions over and over again, and he came out happy-go-lucky. Now, I will say, he said it with a smile.
He did.
He always has that you know, poop-eating grin kind of on his face.
Cat that ate the canary?
Yeah, cat that ate the canary, whatever you want to call it. He's always got that baby face. He's got a little baby face to it, like big dimples, baby face. And he absolutely said it with a smile, but he also said definitively no. Like, no, I'm not going to go to DH. No, I play third.
And it was, you know what? And it was also reported that that Cora talked to him when he first reported, which was 3 days before Monday's presser.
Well, there was
and told him they wanted him to move to DH.
And then he left. There is a theory
and then came back.
That he was there working out.
Yes.
And he left because he wasn't happy with the conversation. Yeah,
correct.
Sort of paving the way for him to be coming off third base and DHing or whatever.
But he did come back.
He did. Well,
now, he didn't have to be there.
It's his job, and he gets paid $300 million to come back.
So at the end of the day, he'll do what they tell him to do.
Maybe.
What do you think?
Maybe.
Okay.
I'm not as confident in that as you are. That this
well,
is just
what's going to happen instead.
What do you mean? What's going to happen instead?
He's going to say no.
He asks
DH.
For a trade. He becomes a baby. I have no idea. You ever see T.O.? You ever see T.O. when he wanted out of places? People can do crazy things when they want to do crazy things.
I doubt Devers is going to start doing shirtless crunches in the driveway.
Be nice if he actually would. Then maybe he'd have less errors.
Wow. There was a time. Wasn't there a disgruntled man, Ram? He'd go up there and just kind of let three balls go poom, poom, poom.
Oh, yeah.
And then go back and sit down.
Players can do all kinds of things.
I don't think he's going to do that, but that's
you never
the
know.
You never know.
You never know what you athletes are going to do.
Oh, God. Here we go.
This is where I point
now
to
utilize your
this doesn't end well. You can keep that one up for a while. It doesn't end well. Hey, but one thing we could be underestimating, if you will, here is pride. How significant a factor is pride in this?
It's all
that he thinks
100%.
It looks like a demotion to him.
Yeah, it's 100%, bud.
Yeah, but he doesn't care that he thinks like he looks like a terrible teammate and a self-centered dink by saying this. He like, which is worse? Would you rather say, oh, I have pride and I don't want to be demoted to DH, or would you rather all the world thinks you're a self-centered dink who could undercut the success of the baseball team? Doesn't that hurt too? Doesn't that make you look bad? Shouldn't that hurt your pride?
I think he's going to learn that. I don't think he realizes that yet. I think that's why I say, you know, ask me, you know, because that's why I say give it a month. He's going to get crucified for another month. He's going to realize, oh, crap, I shouldn't have said this. Maybe I need to rethink this.
But yeah,
this is probably not the best way to go about it. And so he didn't realize how the fervor of his answer and the response was going to be probably initially. He's... You know,
doesn't everybody need to have? Hey, honey,
it's the language barrier thing.
No.
There's a part of me.
Screw the language barrier.
Does he listen to sports talk every day? Is he listening to our show? Does he? I don't know. Maybe he doesn't.
No.
Maybe he's not in tune with how it is here.
Maybe you should listen, Rafi, and you'd be better prepared for this press conference.
You would think he might.
Wait a minute.
No,
he's been in Major League Baseball for 8 seasons.
Yeah.
So he probably didn't play all of them, but that's 800, 1,400 games or something. He's been around Major League Baseball. He didn't realize that a $300 million player saying he won't do what the team asks him to do, I don't know, might resonate, might create some, I don't know, reporters asking questions.
Where's he from? Down in Dominican?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe down in the Dominican, it's not like that.
He's played in Boston for 8 years. But 8 years.
He lives in a cocoon here.
I'm not giving him the excuse.
He lives in a cocoon here.
And he doesn't have an agent?
I'm giving you a reason why
doesn't
he
have
might
a teammate,
be thinking the way
doesn't
he
have a buddy, doesn't have a translator, doesn't have somebody that he goes, you know what I'm going to do when they ask me if I'm going to DH? I'm going to say two letters. I'm going to say no with a smile on my face. No. Somebody couldn't say, you might want to workshop that, maybe rethink that, maybe change course totally.
Like, I'm not sure he consulted with anybody. Maybe he doesn't have somebody that he talks to. Maybe he doesn't have somebody he trusts.
That's sad if that's true.
But it could very well be true. What makes you think that he has somebody like that?
But if you were going to go out there and, like, on this show, let's just say on this show you were going to say something that you knew was going to be asked, of, whatever, and you said beforehand, maybe to Dan, maybe to Fitzy, maybe to me, maybe to Robin, maybe to whoever. Wouldn't you run it by them? Be like, "How do you think this will play today?"
Yeah, I would, because it's my job. This is my job. Rafi's job is not to address the media.
Part of it. That's why they make him sit at picnic tables down there.
How is he? Is he good at it?
Nope.
Clearly. So I don't think he understands totally what the ramifications are.
So shouldn't that? Okay. Let's boil it down and take. I'll take him off the hook. Do they not have PR people that go, "Hey, Rafi, you know they're going to ask you about Bregman playing third, right? How are you going to answer that?"
Dude, it's maybe the same PR people that work for Gerard Mayo. I don't know. Because maybe not. They could.
Aren't there like PR staffs? Forget like one person. Aren't there like two, three, four
people? They have whole departments.
That their job is to go talk to him and say, "Hey, these are the questions you're going to be asked."
Oh, yeah, prep you. Okay. Absolutely.
Do we know that happened?
I don't.
So
it should.
It should. Doesn't mean we know it happened.
Like, I know the questions that are going to be asked of most players, right? Don't you know, Fitzy? Like, the question,
yes.
Rafi, here, they've been asking Cora for 2 months, and he's been sidestepping it. Oh, if you get Bregman, what would you do? Well, you know, we'll play this, blah, blah, blah. Like, he sidestepped it.
Oh, on, like, TV appearances and whatnot. Yeah, Ted, they always get, you know, they get the questions in advance. Their handlers are sent them by segment producers and whatever else.
That Rafi is, they handle him the same way that he's handled the way you guys are describing, I think, is a little bit, I think, naive. I think you'd be shocked by how things operate.
Wait a minute.
Behind the scenes.
So I lived in a world, and you lived in a world for
I've
years.
Never once had a PR person tell me what I had to say, ever.
No. Not what
once.
You had to say.
Or how I, or what's going to be asked of me. Prepped me on what's going to be asked of me.
Really?
Never.
Ever?
No.
What the hell's Stacey James doing down there?
It's not that.
I thought that was part of the job.
No.
Hey, Ted, you going to talk today? FYI, the thing you did over the weekend's in the paper. They're going to ask you about that. Whatever. And I'm not saying this isn't a specific to you. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, you know that incident? Oh, they
just
know about
don't
that?
Assume what seems obvious to you is what goes on. That's all. That's all I'm trying to say. Is what seems obvious to you and from where you sit isn't necessarily how it goes behind the scenes in another occupation or entity, all right?
Yeah, but I would think even here, like, let's just spin it. Like, let's just say we hit it big, and we're the biggest afternoon show in the country in 3 years. You with me?
I'm here. Okay. I'm right there with you on that. Let's go.
Are my eyes closed and I'm dreaming? Are we in the metaverse?
We're there,
and
man.
Then I get a DUI, and then the reporters are calling, and Ken's like, "You probably should talk to somebody." Don't you think Ken's going to be like, "How are you going to answer this? What are you going to say when they ask?" Right? Like, isn't that part of the business world? Like, when you're a product in a corporation.
DUI versus somebody maybe taking your position.
Let's just say there's rumors they're replacing me as the host. Rumors, I said.
Well, you know what? Let's find out. Let's find out if somebody talked to Rafael Devers.
I'm sorry, what?
All right, let's talk about that. Let's find that out.
I couldn't fathom a world where the PR staff or interpreter or somebody doesn't prep him for the idea that they're going to ask about Bregman, third base, DH.
There's a lot of things that you would think or you would assume happen behind closed doors. Or
I wouldn't say this felt like it was rogue, Ted, but it definitely sort of seemed like it's your turn, and he just kind of went out there and just bowled through a china shopped it. Like,
ignored all the PR advice, ignored what they said to him.
It's possible.
Okay.
He had his own intentions.
Yeah.
And that's possible. Let's go to
it's all possible.
We have a different view here from Steve in Fall River. who seems to blame the same old person that everybody likes to blame, Steve. This is all the media's fault, right?
Well, they couldn't wait to get down there. Let's talk about this. Alex Bregman is here for a 1-year deal. You're going to – this idiot is here for 9 years.
Got an opt-out.
I don't
want
to sign.
Whoa. You don't have to call him an idiot. And he's got a 3-year deal.
You guys wanted them to have a bad contract because that's the way the Boston Red Sox do it. Let's overpay somebody. Well, guess what?
Who the hell
he's
are you
got
talking
more
about?
Juice than anybody. The third baseman has a lot of power because – you've already said he's not all invested. His attitude is wishy-washy. And you need this guy invested if you're going to get something out of him. It's not the end of the world if Bregman plays second base. Because guess what? Second base is more important defensively. Shortstop's first, second base, third base, first base. Costas has it right.
We land in this plane?
They want this Will Campbell or whatever, whoever he is, to play second base.
Okay, so Will Campbell is the left tackle from LSU that I want the Patriots to draft.
You had Steve on. He's maybe too long. I don't know what he was doing, why he was on hold there.
What was going on there, Steve? I mean, Steve, I know you get a lot of hate. I sometimes defend you. I wanted you to sell me on the idea.
You said land a plane. He did that was the Canadian airplane right there.
Oh, too soon, Ted.
Wow.
It did a barrel roll on the runway.
I will say sometimes I do feel like I'm being suspended upside down when I hear a call from Steve from Fall River.
Yeah, I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt. He said the media blew it out of proportion. I'm not sure how. Because, you know, he said what he said and we reacted the way we reacted. Yeah. Hell, Sean McDonough was doing an interview with us about hockey and he wanted to react passionately about it.
You know what? I think people in the media are just excited to talk about a team that really hasn't been newsworthy for a long time. Yeah. And that's the Red Sox.
And
so any little thing is going to get blown out of proportion right now.
And I feel like, Fitzy, we were quite content on Thursday and Friday to talk about the Red Sox in basically...
Glowing terms.
Just, the team's good. They're going to do this. Maybe they need to do that, but they're going to make the playoffs. We weren't skimming for controversy.
It's so true.
No, we thought everybody was breathing a giant sigh of relief, and we had started the pivot or turned things around in the canal. Just think about this. Like, Alex Cora probably, reaching for the Tums, not loving the way things are going. How about Sam Kennedy? Who in the world, speaking of PR people and folks having to do the promotional laundry for the business, finally we're not done. Things are going well. I told you, we gave AC what he wanted. Mr. Henry is ready to do this. Now, all of a sudden, it's going to be Thursday morning on, the Red Sox report with the Greg Hill Show. And he's going to be like, God damn it. I got to do this again.
What's John Henry smoking tonight, man? It's not a Cubano. It's like turd laced with some. I don't know. Light it up, baby. All the good vibes that he had going into Sunday night. Gonzo.
Gone. He was proud. Yeah. See, you'd think if I were John Henry, I would be calling my PR person. And maybe I'm naive. I'd be like, wait, we don't prep our players on what they're going to be asked and how they're going to approach it. And maybe if they tell us they're going to say something that's going to ignite a controversy, maybe we say, Rafi,
I bet you that conversation never happened. If I had to be, if we could ever find that out, I would be willing to bet that never happened.
That's a problem. That's a problem. That's an absolute problem. It's not as big a problem as your $300 million player refusing to play the position you want him to play, but that's a bit of a problem.
But we've been talking Red Sox, Alex Cora, he's already sick and tired, Tristan Casas, third base gate, as Keith dubbed it, plus other Red Sox storylines. We're looking forward to Garrett Crochet at the top of the rotation. For more on all of this, we're joined by Rob Bradford of WEEI and the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. He's brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com, by the E.L. Harvey companies, including Nauset Disposal and Miga Disposal, your local trash collection and recycling providers, and by Aviva Trattoria, Italian-inspired, locally made from fresh, whole, locally sourced ingredients. Bradfo, what's up?
Man, I didn't know I was so popular. I was going to yell McFarland, but I didn't get started yelling all these other things, too. But we'll start with McFarland. McFarland, my friend, how are you?
Yes. McFarland to you, Rob. McFarland to you.
Very popular. Man, sales goes crazy for Bradford.
I really do.
I think it was because I went viral and tried to put my sunglasses on the other day. And so I think that might have put my – I think my brain has never been hotter because of that.
Well, so Rob, I actually have my Team USA glasses. If you're watching on Twitch.tv, here's how you put them on. It's very, very simple. But, yeah, what happened with that? If you haven't seen the viral video of Bradfoe struggling to put on his glasses, Carrabas tweeted it out. You can check out Jared Carrabas' timeline. What was going on there? Why can't you put on sunglasses?
Well, I was standing in back of Trevor Story, and I knew the camera was on me, and so I'm blind. And unfortunately, I lost my regular glasses, so these my sunglasses are the only glasses I can see out of, so I couldn't tell if my tape recorder was running. So I tried to put my sunglasses on, and I knew I was in that Nesson shot. I knew it. I was, like, praying. I said, please don't say anything interesting. But sure enough, that's what pops up. And it's just a complete mess. But yeah, and I actually asked Trevor before spring training ends, can we do a simulation where you stand there and I expertly put my sunglasses on in back of you? So yeah, well, listen, again, my brand has never been harder.
And you've been day to day since, and yet you're still grinding. So no time off, no IL stint.
No. I mean, you poke your eye out with sunglasses, you got to power through. That's true. First rule of Fight Club.
I get it. So baseball isn't boring, and neither has this week for the Red Sox. How do you think Alex Cora is enjoying putting out the fires of Devers and Casas so far?
Well, I think that the Devers thing, they knew that was probably coming in some form or fashion. And that's actually what Cora says. I knew that I was going to go after Devers because, you know, we had met with him and we knew he was going to be the no. Maybe he wasn't expecting how much do you weigh saying 240, but everything else they were sort of expecting. And I thought Cora did a really, really good job of sort of bobbing and weaving his way through that press conference. The Casas thing they were not expecting. And I think that was a little bit more exhausting for them because it's just like, really, 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 like we have to do this. And you juxtapose that against Alex Bregman talking outside the clubhouse. I think it was that same day. And it was just like him just expertly, you know, doing the veteran thing. I'll do whatever it's for the team, whatever is good. We just want to win. And you have Casas who's like, yeah, Bregman should play second. Devers should play third. All these rookies, they should start in the minors. And I said to the other writers, we missed such a great opportunity. We could have asked him about foreign policy. We could have asked him anything.
Yeah, oh, anything. He would have answered it.
Oh, I mean, we totally missed that. We could have gone for another hour asking about climate, you know, problems and, you know, whatever it is, you know, but. But that was good enough for that day. So anyway, it's been exhausting. But it's not, you know, for Cora, I think that he's pretty understanding that this is early in spring training and it is what it is. And I've probably talked about it and I've talked about it. This is how it used to be all the time. Like, we used to have this stuff all the time. And it's kind of refreshing his back.
Yeah, no, I love it. I mean, for us, it's fantastic. Do you think the Red Sox put the clamps on him? Because if this was a Patriot player, we would never hear from this guy ever again. Whereas it is spring training, like, there are different opportunities to talk. Do you think he'll be out there again sometime soon?
Oh, Casas?
Yeah.
Casas?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he'll be out there. No, you can't stop him. I talked to him today. He's already ready to do the Wasabi Challenge. And is there anything more controversial than the Wasabi Challenge?
Let me tell you, top of the list. I smoked the Wasabi Challenge when we did that last. Didn't even faze me.
You don't have any taste buds.
You actually did. You
didn't even bat an eye.
It was like you were an alien. I mean, it was like you had no taste buds. I didn't know even how you did it. But that'll be back. And, you know, I think that Casas, you go back to last year, and I told Cora, I said, the best line, I can't remember whose show it was on, but when Cora was on last year with you guys, and you know, it was after Casas had talked to Cotillo and myself, and he said, yeah, I'm fine. And then an hour later, he talked to Lars Stickles and says, there's a knife sticking through my chest, right? And then so Cora comes on the radio, and he says, you can't be telling Robin the brand one thing and everybody else something else. And I'm like, thank you. That was the best line you had all time. I told him T-shirts are on the way, the brand. But he is, you know, this is sort of what they have to deal with Casas. And I think that, you know, the biggest thing with Casas and talking to guys, like I had a conversation with Vaughn Grissom and who was, you know, one of these guys who could impact it. Like you said, you have a guy, a teammate say, that Bregman should play second base, and meanwhile the guy who is trying to make the team and start at second base is sitting there right in the same locker room. And Grissom's like, no, it's all good. You know, we all know the deal, and it's everyone thinks it's chaotic, but it's not chaotic. And I think a large part of that is because it is the end of February, and they also know what Tristan Casas sort of he's going to say what's on his mind. But I think really it's not like he's a bad teammate. He has no filter. Like, it's good for us.
Well,
but
so
it's not good for us, Cora.
But so Rob, and maybe he's not a bad teammate, although. I don't know. He's saying minor leaguers shouldn't be on the big league club. So I don't know how he's viewed. You would know better than me on that. But you use the word exhausting, no filter. is Tristan Casas a long-term fit in Boston based on those sort of things he brings to the table, aside from his talent? How long-term of a fit is he here?
I think that it comes back to it's a simplistic way of looking at it. But with Tristan Casas, if you're good, then all this other stuff doesn't matter. But we have to find out how good he is. That's the problem. I mean, we do these shows, and I don't remember a more polarizing player in a long, long time. And when he's not playing or he's not producing, everybody is this guy, get him out of town, he's a distraction, all this stuff. But when he's good, he's entertaining, and he's wacky, and he's saying what's on his mind. And I just think from the organization's point of view, it really comes down to that. I think, listen, this guy still has options. I mean, this guy still has options. He could be sent down. He has to produce. I mean, there's no question that he has to produce. He knows that. They know that. But he has a little bit of a track record, enough of a track record do you think he is going to be a good hitter for them. But he better be a good hitter, especially this year, because if he isn't the answer – and he does go the way of Bobby Dalbec, then all of a sudden Vlad Guerrero comes. That conversation heats up in a hurry.
Any legitimacy to my theory that Casas is annoyed about being in trade rumors, is annoyed about all the Vlad Guerrero talk, that he took the Devers thing and said, all right, I'm just going to add gasoline to the fire and just kind of make it worse?
Well, the way, you know, if you're going to go down that road, the way you look at it is, I don't, you know, you're talking about Devers potentially one of the places he might land is first base, right? So if you could say Tristan Casas doesn't want Rafael Devers to play first base, he wants to end that conversation. So that's what the way to go, that the route to go is, well, Devers plays third, I play first, Bregman plays second, all is right in the world. So if you wanted to sort of give the impetus for him doing something like that because of his own deal, I think that's the biggest thing. I don't think the trade rumors have anything to do with it. I don't. I think that in another part of this, like it, bizarrely with Casas saying this, I think he's trying to be a good teammate to Devers in a way. Mm-hmm. Like Devers is viewed as a popular guy in there. Devers is viewed as a gamer in there. Devers is understood. Like he can not have his great moments with the media and all of that. But still, like they understand the importance of Rafael Devers. And I think that Tristan Casas in his weird way was trying to sort of get behind him in that way.
You mentioned this earlier. Cora was asked about it. Is Devers in shape?
No. No. Nice. No. I mean, he was to 240. I mean, I don't know. Who knows? I mean, listen, it's not – I couldn't tell you. I mean, the Pablo Sandoval 19% will go down in Red Sox history as the most ill-advised – conditioning mention of all time, because 19% is pretty good, I think. And Pablo Sandoval was not pretty good.
No.
Rafael Devers is for him not. This isn't in the type of shape that you would like to see him in. Is it Pablo Sandoval? Is it, you know,
Beckett?
George Scott running around in a rubber suit? No, this is – I'm totally dating myself, by the way.
That's a deep
I apologize.
Cut there.
Yeah, deep cut. I mean, I always – it used to be where you show up to spring training, you put in a rubber suit, smoke some cigarettes, and next thing you know, the season started. But no, I mean, I think right now he's a little bit heavier than he was, certainly when playing last year. We haven't seen him play. Like, we hear about him hitting. I don't think he's, like, crazy out of shape. because I think that's just what his body type is. But I would say this, you will like to see him get in better shape as it goes on, particularly because this is a reality. This is a results business. You can say he's a big guy who hits the ball hard and he can function at that weight and everything else. But the last few years, in August and September and in October, he hasn't been healthy. And I got to imagine that one leads to the other in some respect. So you can need this guy to get in better shape, to understand that dynamic, to get through a season. And I think, honestly, that's one of the things you're thinking about with DH besides Bregman's a better third baseman, is that we need this guy to get through a season. And the wear and tear playing third base is not going to be as conducive to that as maybe DHing, 50% of the time.
So ultimately, whose decision is it whether Devers plays third or not? Is it Cora? Is it Breslow? Is it somehow Devers? Like, whose decision is it?
Well, according to Devers, it's Devers'
decision. I know.
Although, we couldn't quite do that math. I mean, I'm not a math major, but science would suggest that the player doesn't have a say in that. And as someone said to me, I've never seen a player retire after switching positions. So he can say no just again. It's so bizarre. And well, what are you going to do? I don't know. I'm a third baseman. So to answer your question, I think it's Alex Cora's decision. And I think the front office weighs in, obviously, and I think the front office already has they're leaning towards something, because you hear what they say, you hear what Breslow said, that it's our responsibility to put the best team on the field that we possibly can. And the best team defensively is undeniably Alex Bregman playing third. So, but I think that at the end of the day, they're going to defer to Cora, and Cora is also going to be the one that has to manage the situation. So, yeah, I do think it's going to be Cora.
Real quick, I know you got to run. Give us a name here. Who's your opening day third baseman? Who's the Red Sox opening day third baseman?
I think it'll be Bregman.
Nice.
Ooh,
good.
And part of it is they can slow play the Devers, whatever is his shoulder. And also, you have a couple guys who are intriguing second, which you can't ignore. Vaughn Grissom's looked really different player. He looked like a different player. He looks good. And Christian Campbell, obviously, everybody loves him. So, yeah. And Bregman's today back at third. I think he's been bouncing back and forth from second or third. But this is another reason why you should listen to the Red Sox broadcast every single day.
Absolutely.
Well, any day other than when you're not listening to you guys.
Right. And, great point, Bartholomew. Yeah. Yep. Great point. Well, you can check that out.
We'll put it on demand so you can go to sleep listening to me talk about big number 97 coming in the seventh inning. So,
excellent. Yeah. Well, you can hear it here on WEEI, all over the Odyssey app as well. That's also where you can find the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. Check that out from Brad Foe. He joins us every Thursday here on Jones and Keefe. Rob, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
And by the way, Trace Thompson, my random Red Sox of the day, brother of Clay Thompson, he's in camp.
Nice.
Yeah. Awesome. Good basketball. He talked about how he took an Uber from Worcester to go party till 5 o'clock in the morning on June 16th, 2022, after the Warriors won. I mean, that's what spring training's all about. Talking
nice.
With Clay Thompson.
That's
brother.
A good nugget yep. right there.
Okay. Brad Foe, good yep.
appreciate that.
Yep. All right. See you guys.
All right. Rob Bradford.
You know what's going to happen?
What's that?
Is Bregman, if Bregman starts the season at third, it's going to be because Devers is like on IL. Like Devers is like not healthy enough. And it's going to be like, all right, he's not even in the lineup. And then he's playing third base. Like, not a great start.
No.
You're complaining about having to move positions, but you're not even healthy enough to play and you're not in shape.
How about that?
Awesome.
Is he in shape?
No.
Nope. Who's your third baseman? Who's the third baseman? Bregman.
Great.
So good stuff there from Bradford. You can check it out on the Odyssey app.
Blame Heim. Blame Heim. Just like Blame Canada from the old South Park movie. WEEI Afternoons here. Apparently we're blaming Heim Bloom for any communication issues with Rafi Devers, or maybe promises that were made. I find it hard to believe that Heim Bloom was dumb enough to promise Rafi Devers that he could play third base, what, in perpetuity, as long as he wanted to? Until he stopped leading the league in errors? Like, what exactly was the time frame that was promised? But whatever, Rafi Devers clearly thinks that it's his third base position. The Red Sox think otherwise. The lines are loaded. I did want to read, Fitzy, real quick, a tweet.
Tone poem you wrote?
No, it's a tweet that I got right at the start of the show.
28 minutes ago, so literally right at the start
of
the show.
28 minutes ago today.
This is from Robert L. Peters at Trail Cam Foodie. I don't know if you're familiar.
Love him.
Big fan.
Oh, he's, oh, man, he beat me to that handle by like a day.
So he tweets, at WEEI, take at Jumbo Heart off the radio and transfer him to cleaning toilets for 4 hours a day. He's a team player. So
wow.
Are we saying the Red Sox essentially asked Rafi Devers to clean toilets instead of play third base? Is that the comparison here?
Yeah.
No.
Because what?
No.
No.
That is going to become one of my favorite sound bites.
No, that's going to be like last fall when we used to use the Gerard Mayo one. It's a good question, but I'm just not ready to answer it for you. Add that to the canon of great Boston sports replies that we use in readjusted context and perpetuity.
Also, with the Cora one, maybe we can marry him up and use them in similar segments, but I like the Cora not great when he said not great.
Not great.
Now we got no.
Can you imagine this? No. Can you imagine if somebody came up to you? I'm not sure exactly how this would work contextually for all the various things you and I do personally and professionally. But in Rafi Devers' case, someone came up to him and said, hey, so one of the five most famous baseball players this century, let alone Red Sox of all time, he was this guy who used to play first. He really wasn't very good at it. Yeah. So what we did was we paid him a ton of money to be DH, and the man became a rock star, an icon, a living legend, and a Hall of Famer. How would you like that, Rafi? No.
No. you like making errors? Are you some weird sadomasochist where you enjoy leading the league in errors? Oh, wait, is that because that's the only thing you lead the league in? Oh, cheap shot, Andy. Now.
But too also, early. Like, the guy's, like, banged up. He's got, like, shoulder
always.
And hip and knee. He's like a giant red WebMD chart, and the Red Sox are saying, like, let the super good fielding guy who's not as good a hitter as you, he'll do that. You hit, and all people will do is just give you standing ovations every time. And when you hit your next moonshot off Garrett Cole, people, they'll have bobblehead nights for you. But instead,
And I'm of the belief, and so I looked this up. Rich Keefe had a little pushback, and we're going to get to your phone calls in just 1 second. Little pushback. I said, Rafi Devers, if he went to full-time DH, I think could take a step toward the Baseball Hall of Fame. Because he's a good hitter right now while dealing with fielding and errors and injuries and shoulders and knees and all these things that pile up. You know, for example, last year he had 28 home runs. He was going to blow through 30 right up until he hurt his shoulders. So last year, if you don't play the field and you don't hit your shoulders, you blow through 30. Well, he's a guy that has, well, son of a bitch, he's got exactly 200 home runs entering the season.
Has he does?
Exactly 200 in his 8-year MLB career. But I would argue, if he didn't play the field, he'd have at least 240 by now. I'm going to say he'd have 40 more home runs over the course of the previous 8 seasons if he didn't get dinged up. Think about, he's a good enough hitter because the one downside to DH is if you go in a slump, it can kind of suck because all you do is hit. So you just go back and sit and think about how much you suck until you hit again. Man. Whatever.
I guess I'll just have to go and have another tomahawk ribeye for the game tonight. Oh, poor me.
I also don't think he'll have many slumps because generally his slumps, we hear about something physical. And usually the something physical comes from doing something else.
What's one of the things also, like one of the hallmarks, if just like stop and see with your mind's eye what Rafi Devers has done the last several years. And one of the things about his swing, in addition to the fact that he does have a significant torso, so there's obviously a lot of torque and power he generates.
Yeah.
He swings out of his socks. He has such a fast swing. Catches up to almost anything. Anything physically that the field would do to deter him from being able to focus all that energy on the swing will now be mitigated, if not eliminated. Again, somebody presented the man with an absolutely 100% foolproof, positive, no-fail scenario, and he was like, No,
not interested.
No.
I would give you the phone number right now, but there's no need. You either know it or you wouldn't get through anyway. You'd get a busy signal. Let's go to Eddie in the car to lead things off here on WEEI Afternoons. Eddie, what do you think of this Devers situation?
You know, I'm having a problem understanding who does it? This Tristan Casas. I don't know why he even opened his mouth. But where do these guys get off on thinking that they can dictate where they're going to play, where they're not going to play? Could you imagine if these guys were playing for Belichick and they're like, oh, no, I'm not going to play this. And it's like, how do they even think that this is okay and this is going to fly? If Devers doesn't adjust his attitude before spring training ends, he's gone. I don't care how good his bat is. You can't You just can't act this way. You can't, because it's going to turn into a cancer in the locker room.
Thanks for the call, Eddie. I don't know if you can get rid of him. I don't know a lot of $300 million players that are dumped in trades just before the Major League season starts. There's some dancing to do here by one guy, right? It's Alex Cora, right? He's got to dance. He's got to figure this out.
He's getting paid, but geez, the guy, like, just when he probably saw the Bregman, like, Bregman literally, like, ink the contract, and, like, you probably saw the video over the weekend of, like, him hitting send on the tweet from the Red Sox, making it official, like, all the good things that came with that. He probably had, like, his best night's sleep in years, and then the next day it's like, Mr. Cora? Yeah, what is it? It's about Rafi Devers. Oh, no. I just started feeling good again.
Not great.
And now this.
Not great.
How you feeling now, Alex? Not great.
There was 2 days there where he felt really good, right? Like, he was just kind of living the life. Every emotions were good. And then Devers had to open his mouth. And it is interesting that Devers did not even attempt. Now, some people may say this is the language barrier situation or whatever, which I also find is funny. Did you notice that he understands all the questions? He answers them immediately. Well, what would you think if the team came to you and asked you to play DH? No, he didn't wait for the translation. Mm-hmm. He didn't need to consult with the translator. So he understands a bunch, but whatever. He did not even attempt to put on kid gloves here or be the good team player or say the right things or however you'd want to package it.
Mm-mm.
Do you think that is intentional? Like, what are they going to do to me? I'm Rafi Devers. I make $300 million a year. Like, why not even the attempt to be the good guy?
I don't think he really cares. I really think, like, he feels like he's kind of impervious right now, that there's a metaphorical bulletproof nature to his contract. And also, like, I think he believes, honestly, don't forget, like, he didn't cede any ground when negotiating. He wanted, like, a 10-year or more deal. Mm-hmm. There was never any, like, oh, I'll take a hometown discount. I'll do what's in the best interest of the team. And he got his, and good for him, because he pounced upon John Henry and the Red Sox at a time when the fans were carrying, you know, boiling oil and torches outside of Castle Henry. But now I think he truly believes that what was told to him by Heim Bloom or whoever else a couple of years ago, like, no, we want you to play third going forward. I think he thinks that's, like, part of the contract. This just in, it's not.
Do you think he has some sort of dysmorphia? Does he believe he's good at third?
He might. Well, Andy, how many times does...
he doesn't see the ball, like, when it leave his hand, not go to the first baseman? Like, he doesn't...
Right, surmising or supposing that he was actually able to scoop it up.
Oh, that's a whole separate issue.
But, like, you know, like, when enough celebrities have, like, enough enablers around them that just say, like, oh, no, you're the best. Like, no, the reviews on the show are great. The critics just don't understand you. Like, you can get to that point where you will literally believe anything. Anything.
Can you help me get to that point? Not for this show, because critic rave reviews. Critics are just clamoring to get more of WEEI Afternoons with Hart and Fitzy.
What about you cleaning the toilets?
I'll clean toilets. I mean, wait, do I have to clean the toilets here or just at my house for 4 hours?
No, I think it's in the place of work so that EEI can win a metaphorical championship.
I don't have to go wherever Wiggy goes. I guess I'll do it.
I don't think that would be fair, because there's other people that clean the toilets. I don't want to put them out of work. That wouldn't be fair.
Were you going to listen to Mingles and Fitzy from 2 to 6 on EEI Afternoons?
That's not fair. So I told you earlier, and we'll get back to the phone lines in just a second, I put the simple poll out today. Now, okay. I understand this is overly simplified, and I said, Red Sox fans, how would you handle the situation with Rafael Devers? And I said, let him play third base, make him DH, or trade him. And I know make him DH is probably simpler in a choice on a Twitter poll than it is to actually do, since he just said, no, I won't do it, and I don't know what happens when you get into a staring contest with him. But 53% of Red Sox fans say they would make him DH. It's obviously the leader. Then we have very tight 24% let him play third base. So one out of every four Red Sox fans would actually let him do what he wants, even though it's not in the best interest of the baseball team. And then 23% said they would trade him. That's not great that one in four Red Sox fans right now would trade a guy who's supposed to be their superstar best player, $300 million contract. That's a little bit of a barometer of how quickly the goodwill of last week has turned into they hate their player.
how quickly the tides will turn.
Oh, yeah.
Does that also tell you like how well, like how deep his roots of appreciation go into the soil of Red Sox Nation?
I just also think there's a lot of emotion, which is good. Right now, there's a lot of emotion. Good emotion, okay, yeah. Bad emotion. It was giddiness last week, as we could attest to here on the airwaves, has now turned into, oh, now I'm pissed as a Red Sox fan. You're going to ruin my season? I just got excited about this baseball team for the first time in 5 years, and our best player is going to undercut it. I think there's a roller coaster of emotion in Red Sox Nation right now. Let's get one more phone call in here. Chris has been waiting for a long time. He is in Florida, and he's invested in this baseball team. Chris, how you doing today?
Hey, guys, I'm doing well. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Thanks for calling,
buddy.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay,
yes, sir.
Great. Yeah. So listen, here, I got 2 points to make. Okay. First one is, I'm in Daytona Beach. That's about 4.5 hours from Fort Myers. So traveling to see, you know, the Sox during spring training is a little bit of a hike. Once they signed Bregman, I told my wife, I said, I am going to go to some spring training games. I am absolutely going to go do it. Because it's got me that fired up. The second thing I would throw out there is I'm going to give Cora some credit on this, and I think he is going to do what is right for the team to put the best product on the field. I think he's a smart guy. He is going to let Devers spend time at third base in spring training, and we're going to see how it goes. But if the final decision is Devers has to be somewhere else and Bregman is at third, I think Cora's going to do the right thing. And that's all I got, guys. Love the show. Keep it up.
All right, thanks for the call, Chris.
Thank you very much. Yeah, he is like, he kind of gave a little, I know we can get to this on the other side, Andy, but he kind of gave a little bit of a, hey, look at me. I'm still the captain now. Yesterday when asked about what he wanted to do about the situation and how he would handle it. I think he is, of all the people, that's the right man for the job. Cora is to handle this crap.
Absolutely. But Chris says he's going to do the right thing. As we've all learned in life, sometimes the right thing is difficult to do. It's hard to do. And there's pushback and there's ramifications. We'll talk about those ramifications if Alex Cora indeed decides to move Rafael Devers off of third base, have him DH, have him play first, have him play somewhere else. What could those ramifications be? Up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Can you hear me?
No.
WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Is this AC/DC?
No.
Who is it?
This is free.
Free?
Free. F-R-E-E, free.
So you don't have to pay to download it. It's just free.
That's right. Free to you, free to me.
Who the
All
hell
right
is
now?
Free?
Other than
it was, it's so funny. I always thought, Dan, thank you for the... Spotify correction. I always thought it was Deep Purple, but that's my bad.
I've never heard of Free. Is this their lone hit?
I think they're a one-hit wonder, yeah.
Wow.
That's a hell of a hit.
It was. That's why I thought it was a real variety. Are we sure this is Free?
Yes, this has been confirmed
yes,
via
if you
the
download
most... The most usable resource we have, which is Wikipedia.
Huh. Yeah, if you also download the Odyssey app, it's always free.
That's a good point, Nick Fitzy Stevens.
See?
Company Andy Jumbo Hart, WEEI Afternoons, and that was free with their lone hit that I've never heard of the band. Anyway, we're talking about Rafi Devers, the Boston Red Sox. The lines are loaded. Get back to you in 1 second, but I always like to include our friends on the text line. Fitzy, let me know if you agree with this. The 860 says, read the transcript with Devers. He never says he won't move to DH. What he actually said was he won't change his position just like that. Devers also says he wants to stay in Boston, but since media needs drama, it's not being reported correctly. So, A, I didn't read the transcript. I watched the video because I generally believe the video is way more valuable and the audio is way more valuable than the transcript. I've learned over the years sometimes when you read those aggregation blogs,
yeah,
it reads different than you watch it. And you watch it and you go, oh, that's not as salacious when I watch it and hear the tone or hear the...
No, because everyone rushes to get the clicks and the likes and the RTs and whatnot as opposed to actually understanding the nuance.
And sometimes,
context.
Like, they put a exclamation point where there maybe should be a comma or an ellipsis or a period. Like, it changes everything. So, no. Secondly, he was asked if he would move to DH, and he said no. So... Yeah.
What's the hard part? Isn't that... No is a definitive, right? It's a reply in the negative?
Like, it's yes, and there... No means no, not to add this to the historic use of that term, but it's very simple. He said no, and that was in relation to moving to DH. So, yeah, he did say he won't move to DH. He did say, and then he alluded to... What he didn't say is he wanted to be traded. He alluded to that could be a possibility down the road if we go down that, and that's the issue that Alex Cora faces, is if Rafi Devers is all dug in on this, you got an issue. Like, I love what Alex Cora says there in that cut. Yeah, we're going to work him out at third base, and then we're going to do what's in the best interest of the team. Okay, perfect. Give him ground balls and spring training at third base, and then when we get to the regular season, put a D and an H next to his name in the lineup and send him out about his way. But what's he going to do? What is Devers going to do? As definitively as he said, he doesn't want a DH, and even alluding to he would at least consider the idea of asking for a trade, can you just force him to DH?
Guess not. I don't know exactly. What's the relationship like between Cora and Devers? I don't think we necessarily know exactly how good the relationship is, but we're going to find out ASAMFP.
Absolutely. 617-779-7937. Back to the phone lines. Let's go to Brian in Quinton. How do you feel about this little situation that's brewing with Rafi Devers and your Red Sox, Brian?
Yeah, you know what? Not to make it personal, but first time, 54 years old, first time going to opening day, 2 o'clock on a Friday, 20-something-year-old kid surprised me a month ago, last 24 hours, cloud nine. And here comes the wet blanket, as typical. Huh? And, you know, and not, you know, not to steal, you know, Wiggy's encyclopedia, but Ralphie Devers and Timmy Costos got to run their mouths. And it's like, you know, I get it. I mean, I'm still going to be true, blue, you know, red and blue. And it's just weird. Why? Why is this always us and not me? Just Red Sox Nation. And you guys are hitting it on the head. Like, believe me, there's people out there thinking it. I can't be the only one, you know. But
all right. Thanks for the call, Brian. It has left people at worst angry. I think Fitzy and I would fall under the reactionary, angry, annoyed classification. And then there's others that are like, wait a minute. Why we got to do this now? We just got excited. We just got Bregman. We just got Crochet. We're just getting into this season. Why do we have to start? I use the analogy, Fitzy. It's a sunny day. You got a Porsche and you're planning on going for one of those nice Sunday rides around town because it's spring. And you open the garage door. The top is down. And you accidentally threw it in reverse and backed into your own wall and didn't even get to leave the garage before you had to call the insurance company and file a claim. That's what this feels like. They didn't get out of the effing garage with their Porsche. Nope.
Didn't? Well, don't they always say most accidents happen within like a quarter mile of the house?
Within 6 inches of your garage door. That's what this feels like. And they can't even get out of their own way. One step forward, two steps back. We had finally, what do you think, will we get an updated photo from Linda Pizzuti?
No.
No? We're not, because I'd like to see what the reaction John Henry has now to his victory cigar celebration the other day. What would be the visual of how he's feeling now with his $300 million player refusing to change positions?
You ever see one of those like boardrooms where like an evil CEO has a button he can press where like it makes a chair disappear, like a hole opens and someone just drops down into a pit? I bet just finger on the button with John Henry emotionless staring at Devers.
We're gonna drop Devers into the pit of snakes and sharks with lasers.
See ya.
I would too. And that's the thing. Rafi Devers has always had a weird connection with fans. He reminds me a little bit of Tatum, where he doesn't have that true passionate connection with fans that Bogarts had, that I think Mookie Betts had. I think Devers was the third in that three train of popularity. If that's a three-car train, he was the caboose. And yet they're gone, and he gets his $300 million, and he's supposed to be the guy. You're excited, Fitzy, our jersey test. You should be running out there to get a Devers jersey. Well, I know he's going to be here 10 years. He makes $300 million. He's not going anywhere. He's going to hit 30 bombs. He's going to be our all-star. He's going to be this. And yet you don't really have that passion for him. And now, if anything, he just took a step back in his relationship with the fans, correct?
I think people have that passion for Jason Tatum. I see what you're going for, but I think there's the only disconnect with Tatum is sometimes the inconsistent effort and sometimes atonal performance or response to the way things go on the court. Whereas Devers, because of the language barrier or the lack of desire to connect with fans in the native language of the country, and the fact that he's a little pouty, I think that prohibits people from fully embracing him as the star he should be.
617-779-7937. How do you feel about Rafi Devers refusing to DH, refusing to move? How do you feel about Tristan Casas backing up his teammate and saying that's who should be playing third, Bregman should play second, and the young guy shouldn't even be up. Also, how do you feel about the fact that we just learned that Free became bad company, Fitzy? Free, after their one-hit wonder, became bad company, and that's why we're not familiar with him.
Curtis is in Florida, where actual baseball will be played by the Boston Red Sox starting tomorrow. 1:05 Saturday on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network and on the Odyssey app. The very first start by Garrett Crochet as a member of this Boston Red Sox team. So that is exciting, Curtis. Baseball.
Aren't you excited about next week, though? Nothing of the weather, obviously. It's great. We'll have a fun time. But it really is the first time since the 2019 spring where we're entering it with actual things to talk about and not a search for topics.
Well, and a team that, as long as they can work out the inner struggles when it comes to those who want to play a certain position or want to, apparently in the case of Tristan Casas, want to set the lineup, they are going to be a very competitive baseball team.
And so, the biggest storyline is going to be every day who's at third base.
Yeah.
I mean, Courtney, you said it yesterday, and I felt like every second I was getting an ESPN update or a Yahoo Sports update about the issue. And with, you know, not that it's a negative issue, but the issue of who's playing third base for the Boston Red Sox and the whole Devers not wanting to move over. So we'll be interesting every day to see that.
Shine, where are you on the 86.5? Are you over or under? Have you wagered yet?
I have not wagered yet. I failed last season, so I'm kind of taking my time here. I might text Baseball Brett, see where his mind's at, really kind of gather all my information together before placing a wager. But I would say early lean, over.
All right.
Leaning over. Okay.
Leaning over the 86.5. Yeah, I think they're right around a 90-win team is my guess.
Okay.
That's bad news.
A question for Curtis. Did you see what David Ortiz had to say about the entire situation? He was on a podcast. It's been translated, but he basically said that, like, Rafael Devers is the current David Ortiz of this team, meaning he's the face of the franchise. And it seemed like it was very pro Devers. Like, he was almost backing what Casas said. And so I wonder if you've got a guy like David Ortiz now saying that, how can Devers say, no, like, I am the man? Like, I just think that there's more and more people that are coming out in support of Devers, which worries me. And I just don't know if that changes how strongly Curtis and you, Greg, felt about it yesterday.
Not at all. The comments of Alex Bregman are why he's here. Because he said, I'm here to help the team win any way I can. Think about that. A guy that's won a World Series 2 years ago, arriving on a new club, and the club that hasn't won a playoff game since 2021, that's been in the last place two of the last 3 years, or four of the last five. This guy arrives, a champion, a winner, a guy that is excited to come to a team that needs him. He says, I'm ready to play wherever. And the third baseman on the 81-81 team and the first baseman that built the house in Worcester are pissed about it.
Yeah.
I think that tells you everything you need to know about why Bregman's here.
What worries me more is that Alex Bregman is going to feel like he's walked into an S show.
Yeah, he is.
And that, when he was playing in Houston,
right?
There were multiple guys who were willing to switch positions because it was about winning,
right?
And so, David Ortiz, unbelievable guy. I'm sure that in some way, shape, or form, he feels like he needs to come to the aid of Rafi Devers, and they are guys who, know what it's like to be the face of a franchise, whatever. There's no way for me to ever pick a guy who had the most errors in Major League Baseball the last 7 years
Okay.
Over a guy who has won the Golden Glove twice. Yeah. I just am never gonna. I don't care who says it to me. But I understand what you're saying. Maybe it creates an issue for Alex Cora. We're gonna hear what Alex Cora said yesterday about Tristan Cassis coming up during They Said It.
So if you had a bet, we would just did wins over and under. If you had a bet, who is the majority third baseman for this season? I would lean towards Devers.
I would too.
I would lean toward Alex Bregman all day long.
Yeah, I the way that Devers is like adamant, and I don't think Cora. It doesn't seem like as of yet. It's still early to say, but it doesn't seem like Cora is gonna put Bregman there, knowing that his face of the franchise, because Bregman, you know, there's a chance he could leave next year or he won't be around. The face of the franchise that you know Devers is going to be around forever.
I would say the face of the franchise is Alex Cora, candidly. Mm. I mean, I would say more likely Cora walking through, walking down Boylston Street is recognized.
Well, I don't
Devers
mean it that
is.
Way. I mean, when I say that, I'm like, who's more likely to be here in 5 years? Devers, Cora, Bregman. I would say Devers. Mm. So.
Well, we'd probably go Cora at this point.
I just don't understand. We went over this yesterday. I don't understand how you can listen to Alex Cora and feel like he is saying that Rafael Devers is going to be his third baseman. Like, I don't get
that.
All
right, let's bet a cheeseburger on it.
I don't mind. We can bet.
Opening day, the third baseman's going to be Devers.
I'm trying to watch my weight, so right. I would prefer a salad or something.
Be careful with the salads after what happened to the closer out in Dodgers.
Oh, my God.
I don't understand that story. So you're a Major League Baseball player. And you have a near career-ending in injury when you're eating a salad, and you eat somehow a piece of lettuce damages your esophagus. Yeah. How does that happen?
Stuck in your throat.
Explain that.
Yeah, if that were a Bruin, Don Sweetie would boycott Sweet Green. He would blame them entirely.
I mean, I don't understand that injury.
I don't either. It's a bizarre story. The headline made no sense. I was reading it. It made no sense. But I sent it to Greg because it was a good excuse for Lindsay to say why you won't eat a salad.
Right. Dude, plays for the Dodgers, right?
Yeah, yes. Dustin May said he was eating a salad and just it got
one
stuck
piece
in his gullet. Mm. And then they had to have surgery. So, all right. So, let's not say a salad then a soup. I think the majority of the season, you're going to see Devers at third base.
Okay.
Well, I bet you a soup on it.
I don't agree, but it makes it interesting. Garrett Curtis has suggested that, and he is correct. So we will begin our near week full of spring training broadcasts on Tuesday from the ballpark, new location at the ballpark, Twitch-friendly, YouTube-friendly, and so cannot wait to talk to you from Fort Myers next week.
Keith, I was kind of dismissing that comment yesterday. We were only reading it as the tweets were coming out. And you're like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
He's comparing him to Schilling. That's not exactly a compliment.
Which it is not.
Shame on me. You were all over that yesterday. Well, how do you read into that, I guess? Before we even get to Cora and his fatigue on Tristan Cassis, and you guys can jump in as well, at 617-779-7937. How did you read Cora's comments about Cassis yesterday?
It's kind of a headache. It is a headache, you know, and like Curt Schilling, I think any player that you, especially the big-time personalities that are on the Red Sox over the last 20 years, as soon as you compare a player to one of those guys, everybody's got a million thoughts as to what that means. And if somebody's like Manny Ramirez, like what does that tell you? Right. Like if somebody is like Dustin Pedroia, what does that tell you? Like,
and in fact, we've got a lot of that. There's been a lot of Bregman comparisons to Pedroia. Yeah. We've gotten a ton of those, and we're all like, oh, yeah, yeah.
That sounds a lot.
That means. Yeah, right.
Like, you know, whatever. However you want to dress that up. But Curt Schilling, like he's not the most well-liked guy. I don't think he was well-liked by all of his teammates. He certainly isn't liked by them now. I mean, he got kept out of the Hall of Fame, basically, because of the kind of person that he is, not the player. So you're comparing him to that. But then the other thing in that response by Cora, which you also highlighted, is, hey, we like the first baseman, and he's going to hit. So it's not like, hey, he's a great kid or whatever, or we like him, and like all this. Like, no. We like the idea of Tristan Cassis. We like the idea
that
he's going to maybe hit 30 home runs and play first base. And like, we like the baseball player. The personality, honestly, we could probably leave it And it's why we had to get a guy like Alex Bregman in here, because we didn't have enough professionals. And Casas is maybe the shining example. I mean, between he and Devers, I mean, those are two guys where you're like, oh, my God. Like, where is this thing going to go? This is going to be a long season if I got to keep putting out fires from these two.
Yeah, and you've made this point a bunch. The ball is in Cora's court. He's well compensated. Like, he signed up. He literally signed up for this.
Yeah.
He said he wasn't going to talk about a contract in season. He took their money. He's now, you know, in some ways paid off to go along with what the organization wants to do. And how's he going to handle it? Yeah, I was encouraged when we talked to Bradford earlier today, not to get away from Casas too quickly, but just I was encouraged when Bradford, we asked him at the tail end of the interview. You can catch it on the Odyssey app and on YouTube. But we asked him who's the opening day third baseman. He said he thinks it's Bregman.
That's promising.
And he thinks some of that might be Devers not being ready to go at the start of spring training.
Brutal.
He also said, and I think we can see this with our own eyeballs, but I was curious if Rob would go there. Is Devers in shape? No. So Devers isn't in shape. He's not ready to go. He's not out there for any of these drills. Bregman was at second yesterday. He was at third today. I'm encouraged that he thinks Cora is going to have Bregman at third base on opening day. We all want Bregman there.
Yeah.
But what are the Red Sox actually going to do? I was encouraged by that.
Doesn't it make the Devers comments even crazier that he shows up not in shape?
Yes. 100%. Yes.
Like, it was crazy on its own. Yes. It was like, oh, my God, this guy is, out of all the players in the world that say they'll do whatever's right for the team, including Alex Bregman, you have the worst statistical defensive third baseman in baseball over the last 7 years. Just on the surface, him saying, it's my position, I won't move, crazy. But then when you show up fat and out of shape and you can't even take the field,
you're
right
not
now,
ready to go.
It's wild.
So I thought it was interesting that Bradford, because you brought this up yesterday, I'm like, yeah, most of what we see is that Devers will move to DH. Bradford thought Casas was maybe a little defensive about Devers moving to first and making him more expendable. Because you asked him about the Vladdy rumors.
Yeah.
He tied it, without even being asked about it, to maybe Devers sliding across the diamond. So, like, yeah, there's all this weird...
It is weird. And I wonder how much of it's calculated by
jealousy,
Casas,
yeah,
too. Like, when Casas sat down, did he know he was going there? Or do you just try to answer the questions truthfully and it kind of, like, goes in that direction? I kind of feel like he might have had a little bit of an agenda and he kind of wanted to get this point across. Maybe it is him protecting his position. He is the one thing I agree with Bradford on, too, is he it started out as a defense for Devers. So here's your teammate who says he's a third baseman. So, like, okay. Like, they're asked about him, like, hey, is he a third baseman? I'm not going
to
say he's
him.
Not.
Right.
But then by doing that, you then reassign Bregman. You then also, like, bump a guy like Vaughn Grissom or whoever's competing for second base. You bump those guys out. And then you, like, triple down by saying none of the young guys should be on the roster to start the year. It was a pretty amazing performance.
It was. And I kind of thought the streak ended yesterday, but Cora kept fanning the flames. I haven't noticed much today, but give him time.
Oh, we've got time.
Give him time. I think I saw Jaron Duran sitting down with the 310 to Left guys on their podcast.
See how this goes.
Tom, Karen, and Lou. So Duran.
What is he going to say?
Put a mic in front of that guy. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
So we'll see if anything comes out of that. Have you gotten any of this on social media, Keith? People trying
hate?
To say,
yes,
well,
a lot.
No. I mean, there's a lot of that,
oh,
especially from Canada today, the way we're
not
gussied up.
They're on a slip and slide. I saw that today.
I saw that too.
Yeah. What was this, Tua Tagovailoa? They don't
have
a slide.
Well, I have a theory on that, actually, if you want
to. It's just fun.
Yeah. We're just, hey guys, everybody loves each other here. We're having fun. We're on the slip and slide. Like, it's not actually bad here. Like, I do, if you want to play it out, have a theory on that.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they're showing like Devers and Bregman and Casas. I didn't think those weren't the players going down the slip and slide from what I saw, but like, hey, we all love each other here. It's fun, good times. Like,
yeah,
that's my, you know, jaded view on the visual there.
All right.
But I've gotten some of this on social media. Like, oh, actually, Bregman's not that good at third. And oh, actually, there's really not that big of a gap between Bregman and Devers. This sort of, have you gotten any of that?
No,
that's
really
a weird backlash for a guy who won the Gold Glove last year.
We legit took one call yesterday on Devers should stay at third. Everybody else has been like, no. And I'll even acknowledge that Bregman's not Nolan Arenado in his prime.
No.
So he's one of the greatest defensive third basemen of all time. I also acknowledge that the Gold Glove isn't the best metric. Like, just because you want, like, Derek Jeter won Gold Gloves.
Right,
like,
you
please
can win that,
like,
more on reputation than actual performance. Yeah.
And then you're like, all right, how many guys even qualified for it? How many guys played, like, enough games at third base and all that other stuff? So Bregman winning the Gold Glove, to me, isn't necessarily the be-all, end-all. But Devers is the worst. Like, he's the worst defensive third baseman. Can we all at least agree on that?
Right. So if you want to say we overrate Bregman as a defensive third baseman, maybe. We might.
I still think there's a big gap between the two.
No, no, but that, but acknowledge that Bregman's just better. Can we all just do that in a vacuum? Bregman is better at third than Devers would be.
What's even better if you, for the team?
Even if you think we're overrating him.
Yeah.
Can we at least acknowledge that? I've gotten weird blowback on that, which is just odd to me. Like, there, I think it's because their number of errors actually weren't that different last year. It was like 14 to 12.
Yeah, but you got
to
look at the whole thing.
Well, right.
Yeah.
Defensive run saved. Not to go deep into advanced metrics, which I usually mock, but it'll make my argument. So
sure.
Let's go there.
Now we can use it.
Bregman was a +6 last year. Devers was a -9.
Like, come on.
So it's a 15-run difference between those two?
Closer than you think.
So, like, again, just let's all just acknowledge Bregman is better at third. We can debate the gap, but let's not make an argument that they're the same there or there's no difference there. 617-779-7937. Johnny's in Brooklyn. Hello, Johnny.
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I was thinking if I could get either 30 or 60 seconds from you guys on how to make the Red Sox likable again.
You're requesting? Wait, are you ready to do that now, or that's like for a future call-in?
I mean, I want your, you know.
Got it. Ours. Oh, I thought he was.
I can give mine if you put me on the clock. I'm ready.
Nick, let's go. You know? Hang on. Let's go to the phones. Johnny in Brooklyn. We're going to put Johnny on the clock. 30 seconds. His plan for the Red Sox. Johnny, you're on the clock.
Okay, we're trading Tristan Cassis for a pitcher to be named by you guys. We're moving Devers to first base. We're hoping for the best there. We're trading Duran for somebody else, another pitcher. And we're getting Vladdy from the Toronto next year. And we're making baseball great again. Thanks, guys. That's my plan. What do you think?
A couple trades in there. I don't know. Why is Duran getting traded?
They don't have Cassis or Duran anymore?
No, and they got to wait a year for Vladdy?
We got to wait a year for Vladdy, and Devers is at first?
I don't know.
I mean,
I'm a no on this.
Johnny, love you. That's not my favorite Red Sox plan.
No.
There's a lot of pitching.
No, I'm not.
No specific pitchers in that plan.
You guys pick up more pitchers. They got a lot of pitchers.
Trade
right
Duran
now.
For a pitcher.
You guys pick the pitcher out.
Cassis.
All right. Fair enough. I'll take Tarek Skubal.
Here's what I liked about your call, Johnny. He just requested to go on the clock for whatever he wanted. I'll allow for more of that. It doesn't have to be what we, but for the topic we put out there.
Yeah.
You demand to go on the clock? There's a good chance we'll put you on the clock. Yeah.
We got the clock
ready. So that I liked about your call, Johnny.
The clock standing by.
The actual Red Sox plan I would fine tune to a degree, but, you know, making baseball great again. Sure.
Yeah. I think Jaron Duran's actually part of the solution of making them likable and fun. Like, he obviously had the one incident, you know, where he was mic'd up, but the player himself. He's a great leadoff hitter. He provides highlights, I would say, like running the bases in the outfield. Like he is a positive when it comes to interest in the team and likability of the team, I would say. I think Bregman and Garrett Crochet are going to go a long way with that. If you have a true ace, that's huge.
Yeah.
We'll see what Bregman got off to a slow start. He, I guess, is historically kind of a slow starter.
Well, that's the word on him. I did not realize that. I heard now I'm trying to remember. Was it Sean Pendergast or was it John McClain? They've had a few different Houston writers on for various reasons on WEEI Afternoons. I can't remember who said it. That was the first place I heard it.
Yeah, like, I was like, all right, well, that
he's
might
a, he's
be
a
ideal.
Slow starter. I mean, specifically last year in a contract year and pretty much every year of his career, he starts very slowly. I think even heard Ted say when he first came up to the majors, he was like 0 for 30 to start his career. Mm-hmm. Now, I never fact-checked that. I'm assuming Ted was working in Houston at the time. He knows, but I think he's a notorious slow starter. So you're right. I mean, that could be the kind of thing where we all like Bregman now, but if he goes 0 for the opening series, we're going to, I don't want to say turn, but he's going to start to feel it a little bit.
No, and also, like, what's the best case scenario for Bregman? Like, 30 bombs? Like, what do we think, like, best case scenario?
Yeah, I don't even know that I need. I'd like to see the average and OPS come up a little bit.
Yeah,
if
yeah.
That means home runs
back
go
up
off
over 800
bit,
something for
yeah.
OPS. And,
I mean, if yeah. he's over 20 with a good average and OPS, I'd feel pretty good about that. I would be willing to sacrifice what he did last year. It was one of the best home run seasons of his career, but the overall power dropped and the batting average was .260 or whatever.
Like, how many all-stars can they have? Like, do you think, I mean, Crochet, Devers?
How many all-stars could the Red Sox have? I
guess it might depend on the positions.
ESPN's been going through. They've been ranking all like the top 10 guys at their position.
Love a rank.
And they
what position they have Bregman playing?
They had Bregman at second.
Oh.
They had Devers actually as the third best third baseman in baseball. I'm assuming that's very weighted to his bat.
Jose Ramirez, Manny Machado?
No, Machado was after him. I forget the list. Ramirez was definitely ahead of him.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember who else it was.
30-30 for God's sakes.
But they also went through, and this was like maybe last week, they went through and had all the All-Stars, like early All-Stars. I want to say the Red Sox had like three or four. It was Devers. It was Crochet.
Duran?
I think. Yeah, definitely Duran. And then like, I can't remember.
Casas?
It might have even been before they had signed Bregman. So maybe once Bregman signed, it would have changed it. But
Trevor Story.
It was three All-Stars is what it was.
No, but I mean, they have a chance to have like a really good hitting infield, but it all depends on what they end up doing. And, you know, what kind of season does Rafael Devers have? Like, is he going to pout about moving positions, or is he going to embrace it? Is he ever going to be healthy, or is he going to just show up as kind of, you know, out of shape? And then that leads to a slow start, and then what? And this is early in his long-term contract, too, which is brutal.
Real quick, text at 617-779-7937. Can I go on the clock and talk about furries?
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what the clock's
for. You have the phone number. You texted the show, so that's the same as the number. You can call right in. We'll get you on the clock.
Pick up the stick.
I mean, ASAP.
Yeah.
Beyond ASAP. What's the storyline you're most interested in beyond third base gate?
Yeah, the pitching and how it's going to shake out. So right now they have at least six starting pitchers. They've already talked about maybe doing a six-man rotation, which I think is kind of nuts. It's something that you kind of say. You don't want to eliminate anybody from the competition right now. And there's always the chance someone's going to get hurt, and it kind of solves itself. But let's say, hypothetically, the six guys, Crochet, Buehler, Bayo, Houck, Cutter Crawford, and
Giolito
all emerge from camp healthy.
You're forgetting Patrick Sandoval August.
Yeah. No, I'm not. So those six guys, like somebody's going to have to move to the pen.
Uh-huh.
And then also your closer situation. Like, does Hendricks have it? Does he not? And then you got to go to Chapman. Can you rely on Chapman? You know, every save opportunity. So how those shake out, I think, is pretty interesting to me.
I think just Crochet specifically is the storyline I'm most interested in. I want to see, and again, it's spring training. Like, how much are they going to stretch these guys out? By the end of spring, are they going to be pitching five innings?
Pumping 99 already.
Like, honestly, this is a good example of how little we paid attention to the Red Sox in recent years. Like, I don't even know how much are they even stretching pitchers out to these days. By the end of spring. Like, I don't even know.
Three innings, maybe?
I'll be following it with Crochet this spring, but I'll be honest, I don't even know anymore the way they do things in baseball these days. But Crochet has a real chance to be appointment television. Similar to Sale, his first couple years in Boston. That fell off very quickly.
Yeah.
No one's ever going to be Pedro in the 90s again. Baseball just doesn't mean the same thing. But you could be like Sale was a few years ago, where that was, you know, legitimate must-watch TV. David Price, his first couple years in Boston, you were interested to see how it went. It didn't always go great.
Right.
If you want to go back to Lester, these guys are, you know, left-handed pitchers who can dominate.
I mean, there's not many of these
Crochet
guys.
Could be that guy.
In baseball, 10, 12, whatever it might be, and he is one of them. I mean, you saw what he did last year. Now, it's a small sample size, and then they had to make it even smaller in the second half last year where they didn't allow him to throw over four innings. But just his stuff is pretty electric. And, yeah, he definitely has an opportunity to be one of those guys.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm most interested in, to be honest. Like, the early returns on the velocity are great. He's 99 is what he's touching. I don't know where he's sitting, but that's what he's touching.
How many guys are locks for the rotation? He and Buehler.
Houck. That's honestly my list.
And like, then the other three guys fight for two spots.
Yeah,
at least
like,
they should.
A lot of people would, right. A lot of people would probably say Bayo. I personally wouldn't.
Yeah.
Honestly, you want to, this is a Ryan Garvin plan from last year.
Okay.
But you want a closer? Bayo. He'd be an overcompensated closer. You don't have a closer right now. Hendricks
Bayo was really good in the second half of the season last year.
Yeah?
Yeah, he had like a 3-ish ERA.
I might have been checked out by that point, but yeah. Okay, I'll take your word for it. But like, I don't think Bayo's a lock he wouldn't be a lock for my rotation. I'll put it to you like that. He might be for the Red Sox. They've already paid him, so there's value there.
He's not a big strikeout guy, which I don't love.
No, I wonder if his stuff would play up in
but
the bullpen.
But like Giolito, based on the contract, you probably have to start him, but...
Whitlock's definitely bullpen, right? They said that.
Yeah,
he's not going to the rotation.
If he's ever even healthy.
All right, if he ever even gets out there. Good point.